So we're missing Anne Arundel.
This is Crystal from Anne Arundel. I'm here, and Sam Snead is on his way as well.
Okay. So we've got Crystal, and it looks like we're mostly virtual, though I do see Ron, and who else is here from the commission?
Sam and Michael are here.
Okay. Is that Sam?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So we're all here, so we could start the meeting. I think it will be easier if someone who is actually present would at least temporarily chair the meeting until Alan, though, is Alan going to be virtual or in person?
Virtual.
He's going to be on the phone, I believe.
He's going to be on the phone, yeah.
Okay. Ron, would you like to chair the meeting today? Okay, if you would do that, I think that would be easier for you to see everybody, and we'll just muscle through as best we can. If that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, thank you, Ron. I appreciate
that. I can't hear Ron speaking.
All right, is there a speaker near you, Ron, that you can move closer to?
Just wondering, to your right.
Because it is hard to hear people in the room because it's a big room. So, okay.
Is that better?
Just speak loud.
Well, on behalf of Alan Cornell, let me welcome everybody to the June 20th, 2023 Central Maryland Transportation Mobility Commission meeting. And public comment, do we have anybody from the public who would like to comment?
No, I don't think there's anybody that signed up.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. Has anybody, have you had the chance to look at the minutes yet?
Yeah, I have a request. There's several typos throughout the minutes. Basically, the minutes are fine. It's just the typos, though I do have one question. Is there, who would be the person I could call and just go over the typos with them rather than spending time here?
That would be Preston.
Yeah. Okay, what's Preston's number?
Yeah,
it's 443.
Okay, excuse me, go slow because I can't hear you.
Okay, 443.
Okay.
561. 4645.
Okay. I don't have enough numbers there. 443-61-4645. What number am I missing?
It's 443-561.
Oh, 561. Okay.
4645.
Okay. The question I had was on page 3 of the minutes under maintenance. It said RTA has started the process, and I am sure it's not what that word is.
It's summarizing, like, yeah.
But like the season.
ER, not AR.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like like you have winterizing, this is summarizing.
Correct.
Okay.
Preparing the buses for summer.
Right. I just wanted to be sure that was the term, but there are others, and I will get with Preston and give him the typos that I have. So anyway, okay, that's my part of it. So looks like Chris has another one.
That was spell intelligence, probably a word check, spell check, yeah. Right? Not artificial intelligence.
Okay. Yeah. This is Chris. Speaking, I just noted in the minutes as well, item 10, I don't think the county's procuring bus stops. Maybe, is it bus supposed to be bus shelters? Bus stop procurement, was it supposed to be shelters?
Bus stop improvement procurement should be.
Okay.
So it's for a contractor.
Yeah, I figured something like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any more comments?
I move to approve the minutes as they will eventually be corrected.
I'll second. Okay,
you want to call for a vote?
Jason, take it away.
You want to call for a vote on the minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry. do we have a motion to accept the minutes with amendments and typos and stuff? Do I hear a second?
Yeah, it was seconded.
Do I hear a motion to carry?
Aye.
Hi.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Jason, take it away, please.
Okay. Well, welcome everyone. So this marks the last quarter of FY23. So we have a number of vacancies currently that we're trying to fill. Our first one here is our parks manager. She's left about a couple weeks ago from that day. We are in the process of filling that position. We've had a number of candidates we've interviewed, and we're going through the selection process as we speak to find a parks manager. Our next vacancy was our classroom trainer. We are the job has been posted and we're heavily recruiting for that position right now. There's not a lot of interest, but we're hoping to beef up our recruitment for that position. In the meantime, our safety and training manager is standing in to do the training for our new hires. I think I mentioned before about Josh, our AGM leaving. He has now vacated the position. Carlos isn't here, but he's Carlos Reyes is standing in as our operations manager to deal with the day-to-day operations. We have posted that position. There's been a number of interests in that position, and the recruiter or on the first transit side is vetting them and setting up appointments and interviews to kind of start to find somebody to fill that position.
Can I ask some questions?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I note in your the second bullet, when you talk about more holistic, can you describe that a little bit more?
Yeah, so we wanted, when we started our CDL training program about a year and a half, 2 years ago now, a lot of energy went into building a CDL training program and the components of that training program. Now that we have that underway, we want to kind of incorporate that, not just as training somebody to get a CDL, but training them to be an RTA employee that's a driver, so that the focus is involved. You're not just here to just get your CDL, but that's just a small component of being onboarding for an RTA employee. So more of a holistic approach where we integrate some of the training with some of our internal policies and procedures as being a driver. So it's not just getting your CDL. How do you understand and deal with open work? How do you understand and deal with the bids and all the intricacy that you put internal?
That sounds terrific.
Yeah. And then get them to understand that, because our initial fear, that has happened a few times. Our initial fear is, people come in, they get their CDL, and what do? They leave. Most of our folks have stayed. Now, we have had one, two that have gotten their CDL and they've kind of ghosted us. But it's going to happen. It's, you know, it's part of doing business. But we feel if we do this, be given a more holistic approach, we get them to buy into that. It's not just getting your CDL, it's being an RTA employee, and this is what it all entails, and these are the kind of the benefits and the advantages of, you know, of being an employee, not just getting your CDL. So once we feel we get them to buy in, people are more likely to at least stay. And not the first instinct is to, okay, I got my CDL and I'm gonna go. So that's the idea behind this.
Jason, have we ever thought about now that the program is kind of established, the criteria is pretty much formulated?
Yeah.
Have we ever thought about maybe opening this up to other jurisdictions and charge a fee for it?
There has been preliminary conversations. We haven't dealt in depth because we want to make sure that we don't violate any rules if we start to collect money and have it as a class per se. I mean, we're not incentivizing for our drivers, it's training outside folks. Because our focus have always been trying to get enough staff up for our drivers and the resources that's going to need to account for other folks as well. Right now, you know, we have our safety manager and we're trying to get two trainers just to keep up with our recruitment efforts. If we start opening it up to the outside, you know, it would require us to obviously expand on the number of trainers, the number of BTWs, the school. It's not just adding to the number of the size of the class. So that would take a lot of kind of thought and planning.
But hopefully one day we'll be fully staffed and potentially create a net.
Yeah, that's a possibility, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? So going along with recruitment efforts, you see there, you know, we, with our class of our particular drivers, we, you know, up and from January to now, you see in January, we didn't have a class, so there was no training going on. So February to now, I didn't do a total, but we've had 24 fixed route drivers, you know, between January and now that we've gotten through our program. We have 4 paratransit, and I tell you, paratransit is a lot easier to recruit for because there's not a CDL required. So we've done pretty well. I think the classes have really picked up. Our biggest class was, I think, in was it last month? We had almost 11 drivers in that class. So we had a really good month. June is looking pretty good too. That's classes of 6 is starting
Sunday.
This Sunday.
Or Monday.
Yeah. So our training program is really coming, you know, getting up to speed and keeping up with filling some of the driver vacancies.
So is this your net gain drivers?
No, okay. Not net gain. What I don't have here is, you know, the normal turnover that happens.
Yeah, so you can see down below, 15 drivers still vacant, but 6, if we don't lose any, 6 would bring that to.
Correct.
So the 9 and normal turnover vacancy rate, Sean, is around 10.
So if we were fully staffed, it'd be 115 drivers, and at budget we have 109. So.
Yeah, but classes have helped bring these numbers up. We were, you know, on the driver side, where I think our fiction drivers were at like 70, low 70s. We were hovering around high 50s. We were happy to get to 60, but with this class and, you know, netting another 10, 11, it's really at least trending in the right direction.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
The maintenance seems high. I know Maria was part of that, but.
So yeah, the 3 of those make it 3 of the 5 are the shift supervisors. So the techs we're good on is the shift supervisors. That's 3 of them, and then 1 is I think the service lane, and maybe 1 in the as a tech.
So it's not really as the technicians.
Correct. Yeah. You know, the shift supervisors don't really do. Yeah, you know, they don't turn the wrench, but. Okay. So moving on to kind of our operations for the past quarter. So our ridership has been trending up over the last year, as we talked about. Now at the end of this fiscal year, we're anticipating to hit 700,000 trips by the end of June. And that's an 18% increase over the last fiscal year's annual ridership. So, which says a lot coming out of COVID. We're still probably down. We're probably about 90% of pre-COVID ridership, but we are on a pretty positive trajectory. Our on-time performance increased by 2.5. Alan's not here, but it increased by 2.5 percentage points from the last quarter. Again, on the right trend. Our focus is really trying to tackle the earlies, because the earlies are kind of, to me, they're low hanging. They're already there. They just need to hold at the time point so that they don't leave early. So we're hoping, we're really trying to target our early departures.
Yeah, that's a critical one.
Right.
If the bus is a little bit late,
correct.
At least the people are standing there and get
right. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, our paratransit has also been trending up. It's 25% higher than it was last year. So we're rebounding. We're still not at pre-COVID, but we are certainly rebounding up this the last couple of years. And, yeah. Any questions about our ridership?
It's good.
Good to see. Good to see it.
You have a target? We have a target. Well, remember when Josh first started here, I think we had some target was like we try and get to 1 million. Right. And we may get there, but it may take us a few more years. And as we start to service changes and expand some of the routes and serve more people, we hope to be able to kind of at least get close in a few years.
It looks like we're going in the right direction.
So. Right. At least it's not being quite the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you guys can do to, add some more routes to the, extending current routes, the system will help us get there faster. We were looking at, a couple of hours down the side.
Yeah. So with that, we have a July 9th service change. And we hope also with this service change that next year we will see some of the benefits, the fruits of our labor in terms of ridership. So we have two major changes that's happening July 9th, which is restructuring. One of them is restructuring the 405. You'll see a map there on that page. The dotted red line is what we currently operate as the 405. Okay. The blue line is what will be starting July 9th. And kind of recap, the 405 was our major connector between Columbia and Ellicott City. The change now is we've created this Ellicott City circular line. So I wouldn't want to call it a circulator, but it's a circulator type of service. So it just serves primarily in the Ellicott City community. With that, we're able to expand and serve additional communities that we weren't able to with the current 405. So we can serve a huge high density complex, townhouse and apartment complex over on Pioneer Orchard. And there's one across from, I think it's Renaissance Hills is the name of that community. Yeah, and those are huge origins that aren't currently being served. So I think that's gonna really add to our ridership number when we are able to serve these communities. Now, downside to the this restructuring is that if you're out in Pine Orchard or some other location that's not gonna be served by this new route that I'm gonna talk about, you have to transfer to get to Columbia. So, but that's kind of the trade-off to run this circulator service.
Jason?
Live in Columbia trying to get the Georgetown power building transfer.
Yeah, there, Chris.
Has there been any marketing outreach to Pine Orchard and Goodwill or the other destinations that will be newly served?
Yes, so we are reaching out to Pine Orchard and Renaissance Hills. Those are new communities that's not currently served. And Ryan, our planning manager, and Preston has been doing outreach, and we have as we get near close to July 9th, the level outreach will continue to ramp up. Right now, it's very kind of a, you know, we put stuff on our website, we put stuff at bus stops, but as we get near, we're going to pop up an actual in-person kind of marketing and outreach to these folks.
I would think at Goodwill, there yeah. might be a very receptive audience for employees and customers.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's going to be a pretty productive route. So that's the 405, the change to the 405. Also on July 9th, we're going to be adding a new route. And I think we've all talked about this route for a little while now, but it's finally coming into fruition on the 9th. So it's you'll see the routing. It goes from Columbia to Ellicott City to Catonsville. So it's connecting, and it's going to connect to the MTA services over at Catonsville at the Giant Shopping Center, where MTA, I think the Purple, the CityLink, and there are two other routes, 71 and one other route, MTA route that connects there. So it's a major hub for them, and allows our folks now on our service to connect with MTA, to get downtown, to get to medical services, and also connect to the Walmart that's out in Catonsville. So I think this is gonna generate a lot of ridership as well. Yeah, good.
The other thing to note, for those of you that haven't seen it in the paper, is that MTA is expanding and changing their bus service, east-west bus service. They announced some of it before the recent Red Line announcement, and then the Red Line announced that they have a quick bus 40, and now it's going to be like a link, quick link 40 or whatever, that'll provide a faster service in downtown. And then Baltimore County has actually applied for a grant to do a Catonsville, to buy buses for a Catonsville circulator. So no idea, you know, how successful that will be. It would be several years out there. But just having a Catonsville circulator linking up with that service and ours would obviously be able to do better for regional connection.
I would think that with Walmart, MTA goes in there with transfer point.
Yeah, but it's going to be really
good. And then that's been a big issue.
Yeah.
That there was no connection between us and MTA.
Yeah, and you know, it's like it's two, three miles. It's not a long, so it's like you're always there, but you're not really there. So this kind of bridges that last connection.
That's great.
Jason, just 2 points. Again, I know that I asked this question last time, but I want to be sure. Both of these new routes, even though we're saying they're new routes, we already went through the approval and public presentation, and we were just holding off until the numbers were getting better. Is that correct?
That is correct. So when we were all part of the process. We had public meetings, we had a public hearing, you guys actually voted on it. It was endorsed by, you know, the county executive. So that's all that, you know, occurred 2 years ago, a year and a half to 2 years ago. We're gonna, a lot of folks that were part of that process, even on the rider side, may have kind of just forgotten about it. You know, because it's been a year so we are, you know, come end of June, early July, we're going to make a really big push letting the public know that this happened, so that they might have forgotten about it. Sure they have. So kind of like, this is here, it's happening, this is how you may be impacted.
You put up signs on the stops that are being eliminated on Toll House and Frederick. Are there received any comments back from anybody about seeing this?
Nothing that came to my attention, no.
The second thing, and I know that everybody probably already knows this, but WMATA is doing a big push for better bus service or something like that. I forgot what they call it. And we've been dealing with that in Greenbelt because they've been presenting to us so that we can send comments in. One of the routes that they are proposing goes from Greenbelt Station up to Laurel. And I asked them, I said, are you working with RTA? Because it looks like the exact same route. Mm-hmm. Have they reached out to you in any way to make sure that they're coordinating their service?
Yeah, That's a no. And and I can tell you from my prior life, it was doing work, you know, with WMATA, and they see themselves as the showing coordinate with them. They don't coordinate themselves, and that's how they, you know, for better or worse, that's their kind of mindset. So because there's a big there's a system around it. So
one of the ways that this was an issue here.
Okay, I can't hear whoever was talking.
Okay, yeah, Jay, it's Ron. We had a similar issue. Basically, it was predicated on what was called the Greenbelt Turnback Study. And we were able to get the route, you know, the Route 1 route going into Greenbelt specifically because we were cheaper. Now, I know a few years ago, WMATA was charging $110 per service hour. Now, I'm sure it's way, way up there now compared to what we are. So that might be an argument to kind of keep in the back pocket as they go around, you know, along to make some comments that, you know, you may be proposing it, but we can save the taxpayer money.
Right. Yeah. But they have not reached out to us.
Yeah, figures.
Yeah.
Okay, because when I asked that question, they said, oh, well, we're going to do that in the future because there's, I mean, these are all proposals. These are not anything that's going to take part. They still haven't, I mean, they'll be doing the public hearings and so on, and they're waiting on comments. I'll try to get their report to you, at least for the routes that deal with Greenbelt. It was like New Greenbelt. And then that's the only one that seems to kind of dovetail along with Laurel. So it's interesting because I looked at that and then I looked at this route and I said, it's just about the same. I mean, it's amazing. Okay, so just wanted to be aware that that was happening.
Okay.
And I'll try to get the report to you if I can. I'll send it to Jason.
You know, years ago, we actually had WMATA sitting in on these meetings. Last time I remember, there was a lady, and it's just like years ago. But when the initial commission RTA started, they were at the table with us. So I don't know. We might want to offer a hand to start showing up again.
Well, I don't know which one of our colleagues from Prince George's County Government are on the line, but you know they meet with them regularly. So if we do have our monthly partner meeting, so they've mentioned that this, so we'll bring it up at that next meeting.
And I'll ask for it to be added to our Greenbelt comments that they should definitely coordinate with RTA.
Yeah, no, thanks, Jay. So our next thing is just, so we've got 20 total buses in recently, 11 transit buses, 9 tunnelways. We are now expecting 2 new transit buses to come kind of in end of July, early August. So that's gonna add to our fleet. The next section, maintenance. We really, really ratcheted down on our roll calls or tolls, so which is good. But there are issues that we're dealing with this time around was that to do with transmission and emission related issues on our buses. The ENCs, you know, they're not really heavy duty, or what we're finding out is with our ENCs, emissions is their big issue. And so we deal a lot with addressing those emission related issues on our ENC. Not necessarily on our gillies, but really on our ENC. But our maintenance really worked hard to try to address any kind of issues on site, on the road, one, to minimize the downtime, and second, to that concur every time there's a toll. So, you know, we had 9 tolls in May, 8 in April. So we're in single digits for the tolls, which is good. All right, planning outreach. So we're working on getting our ABC data validated so that we can report it, you know, use it to report to FTA, use it in our official reporting to NTD. We had a company that's been working on this validation. They've done it. They completed the validation, but it needs to be still 5% for the Fed to accept the data. They're getting a 70% confidence level accuracy. So they're adjusting their algorithms so to account to better get at a more accurate or confidence level so that we can finalize our certification with the Fed. Our automatic voice enunciator, bus stop enunciator. So we successfully completed the pilot of two vehicles. We got just last week concurrence from MTA to move forward with the purchase of equipment for the enunciators. And we're just waiting to get a quote from the vendor. So we hope to be able to get that done, at least a quote in by the end of June. Hopefully by the end of summer, actually middle of summer, we should have that installed. The ticket validators, so you know, everybody's familiar, we use mobile ticketing. And the way those things are validated right now is that they show their mobile ticket to the driver and the driver visits the ticket. We have recently completed installation of validators. So that would take the drivers out of that equation for the most part. They put their phone up to the validator and there will be an audible sound to indicate that it's a valid ticket. That's exciting, but what's even more exciting is that the validator that's installed will has the capability of accepting other forms of mobile payment, like a credit card. So you can tap and go. And that's coming down the line. So we want to kind of work out our mobile ticketing process first, and then we will start to look at that functionality of the validators. Great. And then we also have the computers going on right now, and Kate Rachel will get into that after, you know, in a little bit. We had a TAM rodeo, so TAM is Transportation Association of Maryland. So they hold an annual rodeo. We had a number of drivers that participated in that rodeo. And lo and behold, one of our drivers placed third in the state rodeo. As a result, they were sent to perform and compete in the national rodeo, which was held in Oklahoma City back in May. And you'll see a picture there in the left picture is the 2020, is the TAM rodeo, and the winners of TAM rodeo. Our drivers is the lady in red. Her name is Michelle Joyner. She got-
Go, Michelle.
Michelle, she placed third at our state rodeo. And you'll see on the right, which is the national rodeo. Those are the folks that are Maryland delegates that went to the national rodeo. Word was that, you know, I know she did place, but word was that she did really, really well. And that came from a number of the judges that judged her on her different events at the rodeo. So she's really excited in this next year's competition. So it was a really positive experience for her and for
us. We have Garrett County and Hartford County.
One of them, I think, is
like the New York Yankees and
We gotta, you know, find them in the morning of the rodeo, flatten their tires, and so we don't make it out. Give us a chance. Yeah, kind of slow them down a little bit.
That doesn't go in the minutes, bro.
Right. All right.
The flip side of that is we're providing our buses so that our drivers are comfortable with the equipment they're using. So it's been so local.
Finishing third.
Really is. It's fantastic. Very, very proud of it. We also participated with the county's Bike to Work Week. We had our own, you know, booth and stand to kind of promote alternative modes. We have bike racks on our vehicles. So just to really support that whole and other modes. We also have, you know, Preston and Ryan and Victor has also been reaching out to some schools here. They did a kind of outreach to a school in Atherton, Atherton High School, to work with kind of special developmental kids and how to use transit. So that went really well. That was very well received. And another outreach kind of effort was the county's Bring Your Child to Work Day events.
Okay.
Yeah, so you see there that, you know, we were there representing RTA and our services. So the last
safety. Glad to hear about the outreach to the high schools. That seems like a good idea.
Yeah, and I think there's more coming down the line to not just target, you know, just to target the student population.
Yeah,
very good.
The Howard County Office of Transportation, this is Bruce Gardner, actually met with the school system employees last week or, yeah, a little, maybe a little over a week ago, and talked about a number of different things that we could do to improve their efforts at taking advantage.
So moving on to safety. So in the last quarter, we had 10 accidents. Seven of them were not preventable, so that means there's nothing we could have done about it. And three was preventable. So it's less than the other quarters. But for the non-preventable, you know, you'll read in the description kind of the circumstances that surrounded that those accidents.
Well, it's the other driver's fault.
Yeah.
They usually stop.
Yes, for the most part, they do stop. We have one, not recently, we have one incident where our bus was serving a stop and the vehicle behind it was waiting and decided to come above and to the entrance of the shopping center. As he was turning into the shopping center, he was cutting off the front of the bus. The bus at that time was also starting to pull away, and there was some contact, and there was not a lot of damage. Our operator, you know, called dispatch, he called, and they actually found the operator of that vehicle, you know, because he was still there, the shopping center. So that's the only time I recall where somebody
drives
back. Right. But other than that, most people do stop. But yeah, any questions about the accidents as you read through there?
Thank you, Jason. Is there any comment on Jason's report? For that, we turn to Mr. O'Mara to his thing.
Good afternoon, everyone. Since the last budget meeting in May, wanted to give a recap, really update on any items that may change since we met last. It all pertains to the total expense. Total expense increased by $195,000 since the last meeting. Majority of that is we received the vehicle insurance rates from First Transit, and they increased 13% from last year, which increased by $123,000. Our workers' compensation rates from First Transit increased by 5%, so that added another $23,000. And then we added a data analyst position to our admin staff. And that's essentially all the updates. Everything else is the same since we last met a month ago. Any questions on that?
Do we know the average inch in terms of rate increases around here?
Ron, you need to speak up, really.
Yeah, Jay was asking comparatively versus charging 13% increase. And I was just wondering if there were other figures showing increases and what the level is around here.
Yeah, we don't know offhand, but I can certainly probably get it from First Transit you know, kind of the other insurance that they have for other properties. So yeah, we can try.
I mean, over the weekend, this is Bruce again. I saw several reports about increasing insurance, auto insurance rates. So it seemed like it had definitely been a trend in the non-transit field. But yeah, we should probably look into that on both sides.
That's what I was saying. I'm pretty sure it's competitive. I mean, you know, with bigger. That entertain it, they're going up considerably. So it is what it is.
Yep. So, yeah. So I guess the next one is just for the recommendation.
Okay. Well, that said, I hear a motion to accept the budget recap.
Second.
Okay, we have it first and second in, and so I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we have the RAC Vice Chair update, Ms. Quine.
So everybody met Jorge at our last commission meeting. Jorge was the Vice Chair. Larry May is the Chair of the RAC. Jorge, since then, has stepped down. You know, he has other commitments, so he can't, you know, be the vice chair at this point, at this time. So Ryan is reaching out to other folks on the RAC to see if they would like to be the vice chair.
Yes, he's a young gentleman who
that was here. Yes.
Correct. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, Mr. Manning,
basically everything that is in the meetings in the minutes from a few weeks ago we discussed. It mentioned that there was a lot of talk about the mobility side of the and they were Ryan and Preston said they were looking into it. There are some issues with where it's going. There was some mentioning about that it wasn't just going to be for people with disabilities anymore. It was going to be rolled out to anyone who's 60 and older. And they were going over those type of things, but the rest, everything else at the meeting was covered in.
Yeah, I would say that I mean, remember some of these meetings, and I would think that with the establishment of the 405, it's going to be a lot of people are very with this slowly, very, very happy.
Yeah,
because I know that was a big issue going into Baltimore County.
Did they put a stop where they had that meeting? That came right behind
it is
that was spring,
and it's after Walmart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the connection will be.
Jason, I realized that the RAC is sort of in transition, but we did not get any written minutes. Is that correct?
I did not include it in the we have them. I'll forward them to everyone.
I would appreciate that because and I'm not sure, I missed entirely who is taken. Is it Larry that's here today or is it somebody else?
Larry is just off camera for you.
Okay.
He's right here.
Because Larry also, I couldn't hear what he was saying. So.
Basically everything that we discussed at the last Writers Advisory Panel meeting is covered in minutes. Right.
Okay, so when we get those, then we'll know what you were talking about.
I'll send them out.
Sorry about that.
Okay, next item is the Transit Development Plan Update by the KFH Group.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you see the PowerPoint presentation?
Yes.
Perfect. Good afternoon. This is, I believe, my third presentation on the TDP and the process thus far. Let's see, Preston, do you want to run the slideshow?
Wait, I was
going to
be.
So today's agenda, I really just wanted to provide everybody with a TDP status update. I did realize our last meeting was towards the end of March, and we completed our community outreach at the very end of that month. So we'll give you a quick highlight on the results from that. But we really want to focus today more so on the TDP alternatives. I am keeping this at a higher level, just not going into specifics now, since we're still kind of finalizing alignments and specific things like that. And then I'll talk briefly about our next steps. So, of course, the planning process really can be broken into five specific tasks. Today, we really find ourselves focusing on task four, which is the system alternatives. So this includes everything from organizational to operating and capital improvements. And really what we want to do is address what we heard during the community outreach, as well as what we uncovered in the existing conditions analysis.
Are the slides being forwarded? Because I'm not sure, we're just seeing the first slide.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, just send it out.
You know, is she talking about she can't see when you move forward to the next slide?
Right now we have the planning process slide. You don't see that?
No.
We don't see it. We're seeing the title slide.
Thank you. Apologies. We'll see what we can do.
Can you see it now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so again, just to highlight the community outreach process, this was really a multifaceted approach where we did everything from informational presentations, such as this one. Meetings, we contact stakeholders within the service area, and we even held pop-up events at Columbia Mall and Arundel Mills, which you can see in the photo there. But we also had three separate surveys, which were out, and again, they closed at the end of March. You can see the number of responses there. The writer survey had most, but we also heard quite a bit from the general public communities. So again, I didn't want to rehash what we went through last time. A lot of that was a little bit of a review, but I did want to kind of key in specifically on where locations that service is desired, where it's not currently provided, there's currently limited service. So the very first one that we heard the most often was really providing more direct service to BWI Airport. Of course, there is a connection that can be made to get there, but it does require a transfer. We also heard about when wanting more direct connections to Washington, D.C., as well as the metro stations. We also heard about the need for transportation to and from Fort Meade, as well as the NSA for employment. And we also heard about extending service down to Maple Lawn. And also tying in with that is the John Hopkins Applied Physics Lab as well, which is on the way between Columbia and Maple Lawn. So those four were definitely the top responses that we heard. Other ones that we were heard frequently were also making connections into Baltimore, expanding service to Clarksville, expanding service within Laurel, and also going to Towson and UMBC, Baltimore area universities. And as you can see on the right side of the screen, we had 35% of RTA customers said that they wanted service expanded, whereas 46% of the general public survey respondents wanted service expanded. jump to the next slide. I really just kind of wanted to wrap up all of the kind of specific issues and opportunities into one slide here. So looking at the system and the existing conditions analysis, we did find that fixed route coverage is very good. It serves most areas with high density as well as high transit need. However, we did identify three specific locations that currently have limited fixed route connectivity, and those were Elk Ridge, Ellicott City, and Maple Lawn. Again, Maple Lawn not really having much activity at all. And you know, it's very exciting to hear today about the July service changes. So those really will address a lot of the issues that we discovered in Ellicott City as well. But again, we also really discovered the customers desire more frequency, more reliability with the buses, and also easier, more direct connections to the Baltimore and DC metro areas. And of course, some of the opportunities that we were considering were the Route 505 Catonsville. There's also Route 1 service improvements that are in the works, as well as the Flash BRT service connecting Silver Spring to Columbia coming in 2026. So TDP alternatives, again, these are really meant to be concepts for administrative capital and operational improvements within the timeframe of this TDP, which is, of course, the next 5 years. We really want to address ongoing local initiatives, as well as the community desires we uncovered during outreach, as well as longer range visions of stakeholders and those involved in the project. Alternatives are not commitments, but they are options to be considered for the next step, which is actually the transit plan, where we do pick and choose when and where we want to implement alternatives. So the first slide here really focuses on alternatives for administrative and capital. So the first one up here is really looking at expanding RTA mobility service availability and really opening up the current restrictions to provide general purpose trips throughout Howard County. Currently, there are restrictions based on trip purpose. So we're still evaluating and analyzing the feasibility and efficiency of this. We've also proposed additional marketing as well as marketing the transit app, installing Wi-Fi on board buses, supporting the ongoing bus stop improvement program, as well as supporting the recent vehicle electrification study and initiatives. Looking at existing services, we also focused on key service enhancements. So we wanted to increase frequency on really popular routes. Again, we really want to make sure that we are maximizing ridership while providing more of a convenient ride, just to make sure that we don't dilute ridership by adding extra vehicles if they aren't necessary. Through the community outreach, we definitely heard a need for more direct services. So we have included proposals for peak hour express service between Columbia and BWI, as well as Columbia to Laurel and or Greenbelt. And we've also made several route specific improvements, some of which include expanding and improving service to area high schools. So alternatives for new services are really kind of broken down by corridor here. I previously mentioned Columbia to BWI. We're currently evaluating options to go to the terminal, the Amtrak MART train station, and potentially even the light rail station, just seeing the benefits, pros and cons of each one. We're also looking at a new connection between either Columbia and or Laurel to Fort Meade. We're also looking at service connecting Laurel to Bowie, also Columbia to Elk Ridge, as well as Columbia to Maple Lawn and Columbia to the ARL Homewood campus with the option of expanding that to Clarksville. So we really find ourselves in the latter part of the TDP process. We're working to finalize the alternatives by the end of this week, and we have a TDP meeting scheduled for next week to discuss the implementation timeframes. So we are quickly approaching the end here, and are looking forward to getting these draft final together so that you all can review it. And that is all that I have for you today, but please let me know if you have any questions.
Looks good.
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah.
And don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions.
there'll be a lot more to come on this. One of our final actions will be to take this, at least on the Howard County side, to the county council for the implementation or endorsement for a resolution of the TDP. I don't know, does your TDP go through a similar process, or did the executive in Anne Arundel just adopt it?
Yes, so this is the first one. It's not first thing.
Oh, right.
Last time we went to county council was for ATP. That was acquired last year,
right?
The first time. So we'll do the TDP similar to how we did the ATP, but it will be in the fall calendar. The things are pretty tight with items on the county council.
So that'll be the same for Howard. So we might want to talk about, whether there's an element in here that you want to reference for Anne Arundel's endorsement once you get a more specific and left or copy to direct the
counterparts. Fred Bravel, I think.
Yeah, Freddie's actually just back from vacation, so we don't really schedule this week. So.
What these guys are talking about is that KFH is doing Anne Arundel's as well, so right. They have full knowledge of what's in both. We might want to think about if something's not covered, getting it covered before we present it to a council, or
basically
having language to
foster lines.
Yeah.
County lines, I would put on both.
Yeah.
Because that way you have two TDPs supporting the potential future project.
Right.
It would be nice to get that airport route. I mean, that was a good product. Ridership was real high. Hopefully that
can come
to petition.
One of our big challenges, and again, this is a future meeting item, but we've discussed internally about not having a route that serves the airport actually go into the terminal and have it utilize just the MARC, the MARC station there. But I think we're going to need some input from customers, people that travel the airport a lot, on whether or not
goes there, and a lot of the commuter buses go there, they drop it off.
And
there's a shuttle that goes from the MARC train station at Arai over to the airport on the 15th.
Yeah, so I mean, there's already frequent service there, and our schedules would just get creamed if we tried to take our longer distance service through the airport in our minds. But we're going to want to kind of like have that more endorsed by folks like Larry, who use the service, think about the service. And other riders too. So.
Well, hopefully by the next plan, KFH is retaining the work. The red line hopefully will change a lot of things. By that time, hopefully we'll know.
It's not coming anywhere close to here, Ellicott City.
It's going to Ellicott City.
No, it's not. we can talk later, but we'll see. Yeah. I was at the event and saw the secretary last week,
just the fact
that connection into it and bringing bus service is what we've been talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Not going to happen tomorrow, but down the road, hopefully that'll be ready.
It's interesting that there was so much interest in getting service to BWI, because WMATA at the Greenbelt station had a route that would go to BWI, and they canceled that due to lack of ridership. Though they didn't promote it, they didn't do much with it. And every time that we have a meeting with them, we say, please reinstate that. And with this latest proposal that they're working on, it came up again. And they said, well, we're going to look at that at the phase two part of this plan. So they're still way behind the ball on this. So if we can get a better service in some way to BWI, that'll be a good thing. And whether it goes to just the MARC station or whatever, I mean, just getting people there at a reasonable price is would be good.
That was the old B30 route.
Right.
Okay, are there any questions?
What's your timeline for completion? So we're aiming to have a draft final done by the end of this month. I think the review process will likely go on for an additional month.
School broke into that.
Good.
Next item. Next commission meeting.
So the next commission meeting under our bylaw would be on September 26th.
September what?
26th.
26, okay.
Okay, the last Tuesday.
Okay, thank you, Jason. So noted. The next item is motion for adjournment.
Well, I have a comment first. We're going to see the entire draft
in July
for the TDP. It'll be distributed to the commission members.
Yeah, well, if we could go ahead and distribute and ask the comments and write comments back to back to us as staff, that would be great.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay. I guess kind of a tie, but
we'll call James.
Michael seconds motion. Oh, all those in favor of the German say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll get back in person again because it is really hard to hear with the current system. And that's not your fault. That's our responsibility. If we can get in person, it would make things a lot easier. So enjoy the rest of the summer. Take care.